today's reading that you just heard is from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's telling of his experience of living alongside Jesus. It tells us a parable, a story that Jesus makes up to illustrate how life should be in an ideal world. The kind of world that we might call heaven. How should life be? How should we all act if we're to be good citizens, good workers, good friends, even good parents? It's a reading I've returned to many times and reflected upon its meaning. Those of you who know me will understand why. It's because alongside being a Methodist minister, I'm also a chartered accountant. I know, weird, isn't it? Most of my working life is spent not in church buildings, but rather in other environments, in businesses, and looking after the finances of the National Methodist Church, looking after and, well, trying to make sure that we make the most of what we have, most of what we've been given by God. And sadly, I have to say, as a church, all too often we don't listen to the lessons of this parable, and we fail to make the most of what God has given us. But we keep trying. It's also important, however, to recognise that although this story, this parable, is on the face of it about money, that isn't the real part of Jesus' story and the real point about his telling the story. Rather, it's about how we use everything that God has given to us. Sometimes today we can think too much that we are defined by what it is that we own. We are defined by our possessions. And that's not right. This parable can lull us into thinking that way too, that it's all about what we own. But we need to look below the surface. So let's look deeper. Rather than think about the coins that the servants were given, think about the many skills, talents, knowledge and experiences that they have. These skills and talents may be in finance and investment, like me. More likely, they're in things like organising. Maybe in cooking, in cleaning, maybe teaching. Maybe the skills are in parenting. Maybe the skills are in listening, in comforting, or in healing. How well do they make use of those skills and talents? So I ask, how well do you know yourselves? What are the skills, talents, and experiences that you have? What is it that you love doing, that you do well, perhaps get complimented for, you could use more? The first servant that we heard about took the coins that were given to them and worked with it. But we don't know how they invested it. I don't think it was in stocks and shares and things that we have these days. They didn't exist back then, so that couldn't have been it. It couldn't have been investing in the same way that we do now. How did they invest? My guess is that they invested in something they really loved. If it were today, maybe they'd invested into an artisan bakery. Not sure, I think all bakeries back then were artisan. Maybe they turned their hand to bread making and turned out some wonderful cakes. That might be what I'd do. I love baking. What might our second servant have invested in? What might you do if it were you? Maybe you'd invest into a play store, a dog walking business, or if you've been watching too much TV, into a property renovation business. Whatever it was that they did, the two servants made a good return. And their boss rewarded them for the hard work, and they said, and the boss said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But as for the third servant, well, I don't want to say too much about them. Personally, I like to think that their boss didn't really give them sufficient encouragement or training. So they didn't really understand what it was that they were supposed to do. Their underperformance wasn't necessarily their fault. They just hadn't been direct enough as to what they were supposed to do with the money that had been given to them. Some of us are really worried about money. We don't really know what to do with it. We can't really blame ourselves for that or blame others for that. We need maybe a bit of training, a bit of encouragement, and a few ideas about what we should do. Which, incidentally, is the context in which this story is important for today. Because I do think that the primary lesson we need to teach every child is the importance of forgiveness. Why? Well, to be honest, it's the only hope that us as adults have of surviving their anger just when they work out that actually we don't know everything and that we've really messed up their lives for them. We're not perfect. We don't know everything. And one day our kids work that out. It takes them a while, but they work it out. If we're not careful, we not only mess up our own lives, we mess up theirs too. But that's what we're supposed to do as parents. That's our role in life, to embarrass our kids. We all need forgiveness. The greatest gift God has given us is the gift of life. Our life and the opportunity to show it to us. To love and to be loved. And it's a fact that sometimes we mess it up. We mess up our own lives, fail to make the most of the skills, talents, experience, etc. that we have. And sadly, we sometimes also mess with the lives of those others around us, those we love. We fail to make the most of the opportunities. But the message of the gospel is, forgive yourself. Forgive others and move on with the intention of trying harder next time. God has already forgiven you. Today we have all made commitments and promises to say a dream. Commitments and promises as parents, as godparents, as friends, and as a congregation. We'll not always live up to those commitments and promises. But I hope that we'll always try. The good news is that if, as we continue our worship today, we're going to progress on to the second part of our service, our second set of promises and commitments, our service of Holy Communion. And in Holy Communion, we remember who God is, what God is, and all that he's done for us. Through Holy Communion, we move closer to God, and through a symbolic act of receiving bread and wine, we also receive God into our hearts, committing ourselves once again to trying to be more like the person that he wants us to be. Unlike baptism, which we only do once in our lives, we receive Holy Communion regularly. Why? Well, because we never quite reach perfection. We need to keep trying. And Communion reminds us of how we can come back to the table of our Lord, receive him again, and be sent out to try again. And so it is in the Methodist Church that we invite all people to receive bread and wine, or a blessing if you prefer. Regardless of your age, your commitment, or even belief, the only qualification is that that is what you want to do, what you feel driven to do. It's an opportunity to engage with God, an opportunity to get closer to God and to learn. And so, I say to all of you, you have been good at managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come and share my happiness. Well done, good and faithful servants. Amen.